Hi again, and welcome to Emran's Podcast, episode 106. It's Tuesday, August 12th, 2008. Well, it's been a while since I last recorded, but your old buddy Arthur's back. And there are a couple of reasons why it's been so long, but the first is a very mundane reason. The first week of the month is the busiest week of the month for me, and this particular week just passed is among the busiest I've had in a long time, and I just simply didn't have time to record. Now, I did take a little time out on Wednesday to chat with Archer as he was recording his Ustream show for Archer Radio. And if I remember, I have a couple things to say about that later on. If not, I'll talk about it next episode. But the main reason was not so mundane. I actually did record on Friday, but I didn't have time to finish it, and I didn't have time to edit it. And as it happens, I wasn't really into it anyway. And the reason is that on Friday morning, I received an email from my brother telling me that my sister and her husband had been in a car accident the night before. They were turning on a green arrow, and some joker ran a red light, probably speeding, and smashed into them. And my sister had 4 broken ribs and some relatively minor internal injuries. And they hospitalized her until they got her stable and made sure she was all right, and then she's due to come home. Any time now, really. And my brother-in-law, who was driving, wasn't seriously injured, but of course he was badly shaken, as you'd expect. Well, lucky for them, there was a cop from another town who happened to be at the intersection at the time and was able both to render assistance and also to verify that they, in fact, were not at fault for the accident. So that's all getting sorted out. But I found out just recently that apparently there was about... The other car was a big old 1980s Buick, you know, a big tank of a car, aircraft carrier-sized car. And it hit my sister's car. It was on the passenger side, and it was by the, what do you call that, post or pillar, whatever it is that's, you know, between the doors. If it had been a few inches over farther, it could very well have torn the car in half. And, of course, my sister and her husband would have been vaporized. It was just... luck in some ways that he hit them where they did. Apparently, there's very little damage to his car. And I actually think, this is getting off the topic a little bit, but I do want to say that I think that it's time to start getting those old cars off the road. They're gas guzzlers, they're inefficient, they're too heavy for the newer cars if there's an accident like this. And my solution would be to start raising the annual vehicle taxes on those older cars. Eventually make it 4 or 5 times the cost of a new car to register every year, which would provide a financial incentive for people to stop driving them to get newer cars. And those newer cars, of course, are cleaner, they're more energy efficient, and if they're in an accident with another smaller car, things are going to be better. But the main thing, this actually brings up a topic that I wanted to talk about a little bit, and that's what I call the tyranny of distance. Now, I didn't invent that phrase, of course, and it's usually used, in New Zealand anyway, it's usually used in connection with trade, because New Zealand is so far away from world markets, and they had to come up with ways to overcome that tyranny of distance. Well, in this case, what I'm talking about is that when you live in another country, when you're far away from home, and actually, by the way, this could be if you're from, say, the East Coast and you live on the West Coast, or vice versa, of the U.S., or if you live in Spain and you're from Helsinki, all those kinds of things. When you live so far away from home and your loved ones and so on, there will inevitably come a time when something happens. Now, it could be good. I wrote a blog post about this, which is what I'm leading up to. And my blogging buddy Don commented that it could be a good thing like a wedding or a bad thing like an accident or a death. And you are faced with the situation of what do you do when you're so far away. Now, I did write a blog post about this. And I'm just going to read part of it. I'm not going to read the entire thing, partly because, it's a little bit, well, you can read it for yourselves. But some of it I think is relevant to what I'm talking about. And so I'm just going to read that now. I was keenly aware at that moment that I'm more than 13,000 kilometers away, around 8,200 U.S. miles. I can't get there without spending several days and several thousand dollars. I know that there's no real reason why I have to be there, but if I lived there, of course I'd go see my sister. But... by any practical measure, doing so from this far away is impossible. Anyone who ends up living far away from the original home is inevitably faced with situations like this, as my buddy Don recently was. These situations tend to become an exercise in evaluation, trying to determine if the situation is bad enough, whatever that means, to justify the expense and difficulty of a trip. The greater the distance, the more that money comes into that evaluation. It'd be dishonest to say it doesn't. I suppose for me, and probably other expats, the fact that we have to go through such evaluations is the hardest part. It creates frustration on top of whatever other emotions are going on. I hate it. Obviously, expats know, or ought to, that this kind of thing will happen, and it pays to have at least a vague idea of how they'll handle it. I keep current passports at all and an available balance on my credit card. But having a plan doesn't make it any easier when situations arise. Without a doubt, this tyranny of distance is the worst part about being an expat, even though it's often an integral part of the experience. It's the one thing that modern technology can't yet completely overcome. And that's the gist of how I feel about this whole thing about being so far away from home and my family and friends. When something bad happens or something good happens, there is this process of evaluation that you have to go through to determine if you can go, if you must go for whatever reason, emotionally or what have you. And it's something that a lot of people don't think about when they make the decision to move far away from home, and especially if they move to another country where it can become an even bigger deal. For example, if you live in another country, so let's say New Zealand because I know it best, and you're a permanent resident, you have to have a returning resident visa in order to come back into the country. And the first one you get is good for 2 years. After that, I believe they're good for 1 year. And if you don't have a current one, you've got to arrange to get one before you can leave the country. Otherwise, they won't let you back in. And well, they would, but you'd be in as a tourist and you'd have to start all over again with the paperwork. And so that's obviously not a good situation to be in. And it's actually part of the reason why I became a New Zealand citizen, so I wouldn't have to deal with that ever again, that I just had to keep a current passport, which is much easier to do, and because they're good for 5 years. And that way, if there was an emergency, I could just hop on a plane and go. And so that was what my strategy was, to always have current passports, to always have available credit on the credit card so that if I needed to, I could buy a last-minute ticket and fly away. You know, whatever. But when I first arrived in New Zealand, that wasn't the case. I didn't have that kind of cash or credit available. I only had my working visa and permit, although that did allow me multiple entries. So even by itself, that wasn't a concern. But there were barriers that would have prevented me from going home in an emergency if I needed to. And I just think it's something that people really ought to think about when they're evaluating where they want to live, whether it's in a distant part of their own country or if it's in an entirely different country or, in my case, a different hemisphere. It's something that you really need to think about and really need to be aware of because, you know, it can be a very big deal indeed to try to get home at the last minute, and it can be very expensive too. You know, you can plan sometimes for weddings or events like that, but you obviously can't plan for a funeral or if there's an accident. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that you really need to think about if you ever consider moving to another country or even, as I say, far away from your home. And that's really all I want to say about it. My sister is on the mend. She and my brother-in-law both are doing better. They are considering more about their future. I suppose any sort of situation like that does make you tend to do that, about really where they want to live long-term and those kinds of things. And no, I don't think that means that they'll move to New Zealand. I don't think that's likely. But my brother-in-law does have family out in the New York area somewhere. I don't actually know where. Somewhere. I think it might be like Queens or Brooklyn or somewhere. I don't really know. Anyway, somewhere out there. New York City area, I should have said, not New York area. Anyway, so I don't know. If there's anything worth passing on, I will. But I certainly want to thank those of you who have given me your best wishes, either on my blog post or through Twitter or what have you, privately. It certainly has meant a lot to me, and I'd like to thank you very much for that. Now, I am going on next to comments, and first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to play a phone message.
Hey, Arthur. It's Eric. I'm just calling you on a quick coffee break. I decided that I needed to keep up with my correspondence to all of my favorite shows and podcasts, and I realized that I had not called you in so long, and I just wanted to say that I'm still here. I'm still listening. I love your show. the switchover seems to be going well, eh? I hope you like Libsyn far better than Podcrapic, Podcraptastic, whatever the hell that thing is. Yeah, I'm loving the show. I always really enjoy your insights and your conversations of politics and history. Keep it up, buddy. And thank you again, too, for your emails to me regarding my doggy situation. I appreciate it very much, and I will talk to you soon.
Well, thank you so much for that, Eric. Eric, of course, is from Confessions of a Southern Boy in Yankee Land, which has always been one of my favorite podcasts. He's just a sweetheart. He really is. But he's gone through a rough time lately himself because his dog, the Boogs, has not been well. It was a bit touch and go there for a while. And those of us who were animal lovers were very concerned. And tried to offer support either through the comments on his blog or through emails or Twitter or what have you. And I hope it helped Eric, because it was certainly heartfelt, certainly from me and I'm sure from everyone else as well. But we're all very pleased that the Boogs is on the mend, because I certainly know what it's like when one of your animal companions is not doing well. But yeah, it was a bit of a rough time there. But Eric mentioned about Libsyn and Podomatic and all that. Now, I didn't actually go with Libsyn in the end. I have to correct you in one thing there. I decided to do what they call self-hosting, I think it is. I bought a domain and virtual hosting through GoDaddy, and that's where everything is. And I did that partly because I felt I could get more value for money. It was somewhat cheaper to go that route than it was to go through Libsyn or another service. And people complain about every service there is. Libsyn, certainly Podomatic, whatever. They complain about all of them. And I decided I wanted to have more control, even though I didn't fully know what that meant. Tim Carmel, the fairy podfather, or whatever, was very helpful in providing advice and suggestions and helped me get through that. Now, I did have to learn a lot of things in the process, partly because I'd never used a Linux server before, and it's very particular about how files are named, I found out. I thought at first it didn't like spaces, and it wasn't spaces so much. It was odd punctuation characters, because if you type things in Word, it generally will change a simple dash to what's called technically called an N dash. It's a bigger dash, it's not a hyphen, it's more of a dash. And the Linux server doesn't like that. So once I realized that, I could go in and fix everything. But it took me forever to figure out why none of my podcast files were showing up in this new site. But obviously, I got there in the end. That was actually why I had trouble with the MP3 file name for the episode on the Faroe Islands, because it was filled with lots of non-standard Western characters, and it just wouldn't take it, so I had to make something else up. Interestingly, Podomatic didn't have that trouble. But Podomatic has continued to have problems. I've noticed that sometimes the service is unavailable, and I don't know. I still have files stored there, and I still post to it. But those of you who have not yet changed feeds to the new feed should probably do so sooner rather than later, because it's inevitable that I'll stop posting new episodes to Podomatic. I'll just leave my old episodes there, so if anybody wants them, they can download them, but I won't be posting new ones to it. Now, the new feed, of course, you can get to easily just by going to my site, amrinspodcast.com, and every show notes posting on that blog has a little badge there that says subscribe through iTunes. You just click on that and go through the normal procedure, if that's how you subscribe. You can also subscribe through RSS or whatever. But you can tell the difference because the new one says it's by Arthur the Amarins, whereas the old one just says it's by Arthur. And that's the main difference. And if you are on iTunes, and it will also say the one by Arthur will say that my podcast has moved in the description. So it is time to start making that switch if you haven't already done so, because the Podomatic one will continue to run out of bandwidth, I suppose, but certainly I'm going to stop posting new episodes to it eventually. Or if I post to it, it'll be much later than the newest episode on my new site. So it would be a good idea to make that change fairly soon. And I will provide warning before I basically switch off the old feed, but it would be a good idea to do that, to make that switch. Now, about written comments, I have come to a decision. Make it sound ominous, and that's that I'm not going to go back and read comments from episodes that are more than 2 weeks old. And there's a couple reasons for that. First, in this particular case, I'd have to frankly go back and listen to see where I left off because I'm not really sure. But the other thing is that it just gets a little bit too confusing, I think, to talk about a lot of different issues, episodes rather, all at once. And so I'm just not going to do that. The comments are always there. You're always welcome to go and read them at any time at aaronspodcast.com. And the older episodes, very often the comments are at my old site, which is my blog, aaronsblogspot.com. And you can read the old ones there if you want. Obviously, I can't transfer those over. But, yeah, so I don't know. I think it would be simpler and more straightforward to just stick to no more than 2 weeks old. And what that will probably mean in practice is two episodes old. So, but we'll see. For right now, it is exactly 2 weeks, going back to the episode on the Faroe Islands. And the first commenter was Archer, who said, So much information about Kim Beaver and her language. You're so smart. Sorry you couldn't put the correct title because of computer/MP3 crap. Sorry to hear about the bad weather. I hope it's all better now. I hope you're feeling better, too. Will New Zealand be moving to HD like the US in February? And I said, it's not that I'm smart, but that I was lucky to have mostly really good teachers and parents who valued learning. So I learned how to find out about things that I don't know, which is as important as the things that we do know, I think. The complete switch to HD television is a while off yet, but HD TV is now available in New Zealand, both through satellite and through ground-based antennae. It's digital, of course, so HD customers will get better reception than non-HD. And New Zealand waited to adopt a HD standard until the U.S. had finally settled on one, because you might recall that it took quite a while to settle on a standard. Well, New Zealand didn't want to get stuck by adopting a minority technology or whatever, and whatever the U.S. picks would inevitably dominate the world market. So New Zealand waited to see what the U.S. finally settled on and then started making the switch. So New Zealand is behind the U.S. as far as that goes. The analog network, the old-fashioned broadcast network, won't be switching off for quite a while yet, I don't believe. I think it's at least 5 years. I could be wrong about that. At any rate, it's not certainly not in February. There's been a digital service available for many years now through the pay TV system, which has a satellite system. And they have just introduced HD. But there's also a free-to-air system called Freeview, which is also over satellite, same satellite, actually. And they are also going to be broadcasting over normal land-based antennas as well. And that, I think it's up to 15 channels, I can't remember, which is free. Once you buy the decoder, then that's it. There are no more fees. However, obviously the pay TV service has movies and sport and all kinds of things like that. We don't have the digital service yet, mostly because we don't see any real value in it. We were looking the other day for a Blu-ray video disc player, but a DVD player, but ended up not buying one just yet because we know the price is going to come down. We almost bought a PlayStation 3, but ended up not doing that, partly because they're just too expensive. And the next comment comes from Michael in Stuttgart, who says, excellent show today. Wow, you know more about the Faroe Islands than I do. And as you well know, I have relatives there quite removed. Kim will be bouncing from joy and pride. Right now, I'm having fun with the translator programs you have on your site. Big fun, but although some of the things turn out weird, you can get the notion of what is meant. Amazing. It's amazing, like everything you do, dear Arthur. And I said, thank you so much, mein lieber Freund. It's fair to say that I know more about the Faroe Islands than I did before this episode, but like I said in response to Archer, it's because I did my research. Kim did enjoy it from what she posted on her blog. Those translators can be fun, but sadly, they're not perfect. And Kim actually did an entire blog post about it. What is the site called? I'll just go up and check it. There's a link on the show notes for episode 104. And it's called kimbeaver.blogspot.com, Kim Beaver's Lodge. But you're certainly check by there. She does a great deal of fun, makes a great deal of fun. There's some fun photoshopped photos of various podcasters and little descriptions, and plus a lot of other things that are really interesting. So by all means, check it out. I, of course, have nothing to do with the translator. It was actually on my theme, or whatever you call it, for WordPress, and I just left it there because I thought, oh, well, why not? And I've noticed that several people have used it because it shows up in the statistics, oddly enough, and that's just a bit of fun, I suppose. A lot of those things you can't really place too much faith in, I'm afraid, but oh, well. And next was Freddie, who said, Eric is so right. He's talking about Eric from the Beat San Francisco, who left a phone comment. Says, Eric is so right. I know several people who have never been outside Texas and or Oklahoma. In fact, when I met Jed, he had never been outside of Texas. I've since turned him into an international traveler. Now he loves to travel. And by the way, Freddie has a very funny story that he tells on in the comments too. I'm just going to scroll up to see which one it was. Must have been 103. Ooh. I should have looked that up. Sorry. And I would have read it if it weren't for the two-week rule. But it's a very funny story, and do check it out. But anyway, I said, that's fantastic that you guys travel. It really is among the most educational things that people can do, and it's fun, too. So, international travelers, are you planning a trip to New Zealand? And I would welcome to have having some visitors here in New Zealand. I have only met a couple of podcast listeners and only one other podcaster so far in my life. And the only podcaster I've met is Tom the Ramble Redhead, when I was in Chicago earlier this year. And as I said, only met a couple listeners. So where are the rest of you? And next was Anne in Amberley Beach, who said, Hi, Arthur. Great episode. I loved hearing the bit about the Faroe Islands, and admit, I don't remember hearing about them before, much less knowing where they are. Also, comment on a comment. When I applied for a spousal visa from New Zealand Embassy in Washington, D.C., 2005, have Kiwi husband, we'd been married for 5 years, but they did ask for some corroborating evidence, such as bills in both our names, bank statements, etc., as well as marriage certificate and passports, birth certificates, all that. So requirements may vary depending upon where you apply. Catching up on lots of your shows at once. They've been great. Thank you for creating them. And I said, thanks. Just between us, I did my research. Until I did my research, I wasn't even sure where the Faroe Islands are located. Thanks, too, for the info on the visa application. Civil unions were adopted in 2005, so I wonder if the experience, red tape, has changed since then. But it's also possible that it does depend on where you apply. Thanks for listening, and always feel free to comment or make suggestions on things I should discuss. And by the way, that's true for anyone. I'm always looking for topics that people want to see me talk about or questions that they'd like to have answered, anything. You can always leave a comment at amarinspodcast.com, or you can send an email to me at arthur@amarinspodcast.com. Absolutely. Listener feedback has provided a lot of the topics that I have discussed in previous episodes. So feel free to join in. And next, we're moving on to episode 105, which is Monthly Politics. And Roger Green said, Arthur, I guess I was waiting for you guys to go out on a limb and say who McCain was going to pick rather than pretty much eliminate all of the picks. Well. And Charlie Crist, the newly married, is now in your mix. You had dismissed him a few months ago when I suggested him. But you didn't even suggest an Obama veep. That was what I was hoping for, something along the lines of, self-serving plug here, this. And then he has a link to his blog, or one of his blogs. Still, some interesting points. Ta. And I said, I just wasn't prepared to go on a limb about who either will pick because I just don't have any idea. I can guess who it could be, but may not even be right about that. I was suggesting, if obliquely, that Obama may want Nagel for a variety of reasons. I will say, however, that I'll be looking hard at both VP candidates to avoid another Dick Cheney. And actually, the Democratic Party, U.S. Democratic Party, has set up a website to talk about the Republican vice presidential possibilities. It's called The Next Cheney. And it's sort of difficult to describe how to get there. It's at democrats.org. But there's a blog post on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com. And the post is called The Next Dick Cheney. And there is a link to the site from my blog. And by all means, check it out. And speaking of Democrats, not to digress, but we are talking politics, the Democrats also have a site called votefromabroad.org. It's part of Democrats Abroad, which is also part of the Democratic Party. And it's designed specifically to help people register to vote, American citizens who live overseas, I should say, to register to vote and to make sure that they do vote in the November election. So check that out as well. Anyway, next up was Don Q. Public, who said, "Interesting conversation. I'm not hopeful that Bush-Cheney will ever be punished for the stealing and abuse of the Constitution. I'd like to think that if Obama is elected, please God, that they would seek something like the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that happened in South Africa. Quite honestly, I don't think the Democrats have the balls to do it. Only people as vile as Newt Gingrich, Karl Rove, and Cheney are willing to play politics as dirty and divisive as the Republicans. I don't even have the confidence that we will find out how the 2000 and 2004 elections were stolen from the American people. Ugh. Now I'm all riled up." And I said, "I agree with you, but I also doubt it'll happen. The proponents of impeachment have argued that it's the only way to get the whole truth, but it must be too late for that by now, in practical terms, let alone for political reasons. Good that you're riled up. Use that energy for the November elections," which is a good idea for everybody, by the way. If you're really pissed off about the way things have been going, use that energy to help make sure that it doesn't happen again. But I was listening recently to the people who were promoting impeachment, and they did say it would be the only way to get the truth out, that Cheney and Bush would be forced to reveal the truth and to provide the documents that Congress wanted, or if they didn't, that itself would become an impeachable offense. But that's not going to happen for a variety of reasons, practical as well as political, and it's probably beyond hope now. But I think that eventually the truth will come out because, as Jason was saying in that episode, it's the American government. Nobody can keep a secret. The truth will come out in the end. It's just it may be a long time before we find out everything. Oh, well. And last was Anne, who said, "Thanks for the panorama mention. I have located that episode and will watch this weekend." And I said, "I should have put a link in the show notes. I'll be sure to include it in the show notes for episode 106. And what that's referring to is a documentary from the Panorama series from BBC, which is called Daylight Robbery. And I mentioned it in the podcast with Jason. And it was basically, it's about the money trail, about how Halliburton, KBR, and other companies have basically stolen billions of dollars, mostly U.S. taxpayer money. And what I found out the other day, though, was that New Zealanders only saw part of it. It's a long documentary. And it was shortened to be put in a magazine-style news program, a public affairs program, on a Sunday night. And so New Zealanders have only seen part of it. So even I haven't seen the whole thing. So I'm sure the whole thing is even worse. But I will put a link in the show notes for this. And it's really worth seeing because the Panorama series is very well-researched. It's not some sensational fly-by-night sort of journalism thing. It's well-researched and well-documented, and it's probably pretty much on the money. Whatever. But that's actually about it today. I am going to talk next time about the Archer Radio things. It's no big dramas. It's just about some of the things I'm going to be doing. And I'll save that for next time because this episode is already approaching half an hour. But again, thanks for your concern, everyone. But things are going well. My sister is healing nicely. And I'm certainly doing better as well, and I appreciate your concern. But that is it for this Tuesday episode of the Emmerins Podcast. I'll talk to you next time. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Emmerins Podcast at emmerinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at emmerinspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.